Open your Bibles, if you would, to Micah chapter 6. Thank you for those songs and how desperately we need to be reminded of God's great love for us. We spent several weeks talking about justice last week, and what a blessing. I'm amazed at how quickly the weather can change. I don't know if you remember, but last Wednesday things were vastly different than they were today. Anybody get hot today? Did anybody? That's amazing. Kendra raised her hand. So just incredible. We're thankful for the beautiful weather, the opportunity together. But for the last several weeks, we've been talking about understanding biblical justice. But anytime you study your Bible, you're going to find this truth many times, especially in the New Testament. But God's word will give us some principles. It will give us truths. It will give us foundations to build on. And then it will give us application for those foundations. It will give us practices to go along with those principles. And so what we've learned about trying to have an understanding of biblical justice as contrasted against the world's brands of justice and social justice, we're interested in biblical justice. But we don't want to just know about it. We don't want to just be able to get on social media and talk about what real justice is. We actually want to live out biblical justice. So tonight and at least next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the biblical practice of justice. Justice, mercy, and humility are vital to our relationship with God and each other. But we have to practically apply these truths so that we can honor God with our lives and so that we can demonstrate his justice to the world around us. Now, biblical justice is obviously clearly taught in Scripture, but it was also demonstrated by the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we will learn from him, from his word, from his example, how we can do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And let's look together at Micah 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And as we've looked about in the last unit, we talked some about counterfeit forms of justice, things that are called social justice. But what do we want to know now is how can we promote real justice in the world? If social justice can't provide the answers the world needs, if doing justly is not about condoning ungodly lifestyles, advancing victimization mentality, or redistributing wealth, then how do we bring justice to the world? Now remember, Micah was written in a time when Israel was in terrible condition spiritually. They had gone away and away and away from God, and they were written to a time where they were turned away from God. The same time Micah was preaching, Isaiah was preaching, and Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, verses 14 and 15, Isaiah 59, 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now, I don't know if you've paid attention to those verses before, but I really feel like it's a very good description of our world today. I feel like truth is far away from our society today. And who knows what the truth is? I don't know if it's just highlighted because of what's going on in Ukraine, but do you feel like, I'm just telling you personally, I don't feel like I can believe any news that I read. I mean, I believe that what I hear out of Russia is propaganda. I'm going to tell you honestly, I believe what I hear out of Ukraine is propaganda. And what I hear out of our media in the States is propaganda. It's really hard to know what the truth is because it seems like nobody's reporting on facts. They're just putting what they want to, writing whatever stories they want to. But I'm encouraged tonight because even though I can't trust what I see in the news or what I read online, I can trust everything in this book. I can trust the Word of God. I know that this is truth. And so their truth in the world has gone away backwards. Justice stands afar off, but we have the truth in the Word of God. And so Micah's crying to the people. He's saying, turn back to God. Remember the goodness of God. Remember how good he's been to you and have the right response. What's the right response? Do justly. love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And so, just a reminder real quick, we talked about the fact that God is the habitation of justice. If you want to find justice, you have to go to where God lives. We talked about how God desires for his people to show justice in the way that they live. We talked about how each of us is directly responsible to God for the way that we live our lives. I am going to give an account to my Savior one day for what I've done in this body, whether it's good or bad. And so are you. Every one of us is going to give an account. So I am responsible for how I live my life. Biblical justice is the faithful application of the law of God. But it does not focus primarily on politically motivated headlines, but biblical justice focuses on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel to transform lives. That's what it's about. So we want to move past this. We spent a lot of time talking about justice. Now let's move on to the next thing, and that's to love mercy. God's justice delivers the poor. God's justice helps the oppressed. God's justice cares for the fatherless and the widow. God's justice happens because of God's mercy. Amen. Listen, we know that because of Adam, sin came into the world and that we have death on all of us. We know that not only did Adam sin, but we have all sinned. And death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. When people look at the injustices in the world, they look at the bad things that happen and they wonder, how can such bad things happen if God's so good and loving? Listen, God is good and loving. He's also just and he has allowed us to make our own choices. And the sin that we see in the world today, the suffering and sorrow that we see in the world today is the direct result of man's sin. And so when we look at bad things happening, I just want you to understand that we deserve the wrath of God. And it's only because of his mercy that we're not consumed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So once we understand what justice is, we don't always want it, at least not for ourselves. And God, in his great love for us, gives us mercy instead of justice. God calls for his people to have mercy and to use mercy while we exercise judgment. We should know God's moral law. We should know what the Word of God says. We should stand on the principles of the Word of God, but we must do it with love and mercy. I'm amazed at how quickly we are to take in the mercy of God. We're glad to receive the mercy of God, but how slow we are and how resistant we are to showing the mercy of God. We want it all for ourselves, and we don't want to give it to anybody else. But we need to stand on the truth of the Word of God, but also with the mercy and love of Christ. This church and all of the Lord's churches around this state, around this nation, around this world, Christian churches should be places where all people can go and hear the truth that Jesus Christ died for them, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. They should see the mercy of God in us, and they should hear the gospel of God from us. They should see the mercy of God in us, and they should hear the mercy of God from us. That we're not just living it out, but we're loving people actively. We're showing mercy. We're demonstrating mercy. And the best way that we can do that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Healing comes to a shattered heart when somebody who's been made to feel worthless through abuse learns of the steadfast love of God, receives the free gift of salvation, and finds compassion and encouragement from their brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, people in this world have been beat down. People in this world, yes, they're sinners. Yes, they deserve the wrath of God, but they've also been misused and abused. And they've been mistreated by the people of this world. They've been under the attacks of Satan their whole lives, and they need somebody to demonstrate the love and mercy of Christ to them. Amen. And if not us, then who? If we're not going to show mercy to them, if we're not going to love the unlovable, then who is? Who is? So it's us. People have dealt with substance abuse. People have been physically abused. People have been misused in every way. And we need to be the people who show Christ-like love to them through a consistent Christian testimony, living like Christ, following his example. Everybody's equal in the eyes of God. None of us are any better. He's no respecter of persons. You know, in Jesus' ministry, there were people in and around Jesus who expected to be treated different by Jesus. It's almost, you get the sense that some of the Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes and elders, they almost, it feels like if they could have, and maybe some of them did, would say to Jesus, "Don't you know who I am?" And I just wonder if Jesus might not respond, "Yeah, I know exactly who you are, and you should be thankful that I'm treating you as well as I am." The reality is, none of us are better than anyone else. I desperately want to live that out in my life. I desperately want my children and your children to know that. I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we build up ourselves in our little ivory towers, and we're separated and cut off from the world, and we maybe not intentionally, but we communicate that we think we're better than other people. And the truth is, we're not. Amen. We're not. We need to stand. We need to stand for others. We need to stand for our preborn neighbors. We need to stand for the drug addicts. We need to stand for the hungry and the homeless. Amen. We need to stand for the abandoned and the unloved. Amen. Ezekiel 18, let me give you just a few verses here. Ezekiel 18, verse 5. Ezekiel 18, 5 says, "But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right," verse 7, "and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment." Verse 9, "hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God." I just want you to get a snippet. This isn't something new. God has always wanted his people to love those who are without, to love those who are hurting. Mercy, mercy should be seen in this place. We're the ones who have received the mercy of God, and we ought to be the ones who show that mercy to others. I couldn't help studying this lesson but think about the parable that Jesus gave. The man came and he owed a great sum, and he couldn't pay it. And he pleaded with the governor, and the governor forgave him all. And he went out, and he found one of his fellows who owed him a little bit. And he couldn't pay. And he would not forgive him, but demanded that he be thrown into prison until he could pay the little that he owed. I feel like that's the way we are sometimes. We have been forgiven so much. We should be quick to show mercy to others. If we're not careful, in our climate and the things going on in our world today, we'll lose focus. We'll get so wrapped up in trying to fight against the social ills of our society that we leave off the gospel. And nothing could be worse. But what good does it do? What good does it do if we as a church fight really hard to end some social injustice in our community, but we never preach the gospel of Christ? What if we fix some temporary problem, but they die and spend eternity in hell? What good have we done? We have to preach the gospel. There was a missionary who was invited to address a large church in the States for they had something called a mission minute. This was in the day of the Iranian hostage crisis. Do any of you remember that? Since he had only been given a minute to speak, he wanted to have an impact. So he asked the audience two questions. He said, how many of you are praying for the 52 American hostages being held in Iran? What do you think the response was in the church? Hands went up everywhere. We're praying for those hostages there. Then he said, praise the Lord. Now put your hands down and let me ask you one more question. How many of you are praying for the 42 million Iranians being held hostage by Islam? Four hands went up. How many of us are praying for the people of Ukraine? And be honest, how many of you are especially praying for the Christians in Ukraine? When I read this story, it convicted my heart and I went and looked it up. There's 142.3 million people in Russia. 142.3 million people in Russia. Fifteen to 20% of them are Russian Orthodox. If you don't know anything about Russian Orthodoxy, I can tell you this, it doesn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. 10 to 15% of them are Muslim. 2% of them are classified as other Christians. For over 70 years, the official position of Russia has been state atheism. I'm thinking about the people in Ukraine, and you ought to pray for them. I'm thinking about the Christians there, you ought to pray for them. But I can't help but be broken for the people of Russia who are without Christ. And we look at these things going on in the world, and maybe you got a lot of animosity towards Putin right now, and I understand that, and maybe you're really frustrated with what's going on, and maybe you're a little upset about things going on here in our own country. Maybe you don't think the State of the Union is all that great. But it's much worse spiritually. And the only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those who have been shown and have received the mercy of God through faith in Jesus, to be faithful to go and proclaim the gospel to others. That's me. And that's every one of you. That's everybody out there listening, that we are faithful to take the gospel to everyone around us. I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Our mission is to make disciples. It's what we're to do. And yes, we should stand against injustices. We should do justly. We should live just lives. We should stand for what is right biblically. But the greatest way for us to show mercy, to love mercy, to live out mercifully, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with our lives and with our lips. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to break up into our small groups tonight. If you have prayer requests, make sure to let everybody in your group know. If you'd like to give to the youth fund, there's a plate right back there in the back. Thank you so much for being here.